Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How about it? We're rolling along Wednesday, hump day, April 23rd, 2025. That is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how are you feeling?
I'm really happy I planned to go see Sinners after that game last night because I needed to pick me up. I knew I was probably going to need to pick me up, and damn it, it did pick me up.
That's good. You know,
I don't feel great, though.
I'm not going to act like we had a whole bunch of hope for this series. I'm not going to act like we thought that the Grizzlies were going to be able to steal the series. But I thought maybe they'd be able to extend it by one game, maybe win one, maybe have a little bit of fight. Maybe they can do that at home. We will be giving away two sets of two tickets on today's show for tomorrow night's game. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. But it feels like we're going to be moving on to other things here relatively soon. Talking about the Grizzlies offseason, sure. But NFL, NFL draft, Major League Baseball, NHL playoffs, there's a lot of other things going on to take the onus away from the Grizzlies trying to compete in this particular series because it does not look like much of a competition. They lost 118-99 last night. It was a better fight, but not enough. And honestly, Connor, I don't know how you felt, but every single time the Grizzlies got to within 10 points, I think they cut it to 8 points, the Thunder's lead at one point, it just, you knew that the Thunder were going to respond.
Yes.
Whether they took a timeout or not, you knew they were going to respond and keep them all the way at arm's length the entire time.
It's a bad feeling when your team is making a run and the only thought in your head is, well, the final score is not going to look that bad.
Exactly.
It never for a moment did I think they're going to win
gonna
this basketball game.
They're going to come back and tie this game.
Or tie
they're the going to come back and change the lead and take the lead. You
maybe
never
they'll,
thought that
maybe they'll cover the 14.5. That was the only thought that was going through my brain. And that is a bad sign. Bad sign.
Yes, but they dug themselves a hole in the first half. They dug themselves out of said hole at certain times throughout the second half. But the Thunder are just too much, man. The Thunder do give me, Warriors early dynasty vibes just because of that fact we mentioned. Even when you feel like you're getting back into the game, you know a flurry can come. And you know that flurry is not just like a 7-0 run or an 8-0 run. It is like a 15-16, 20-0 run that they can go on in the blink of an eye. And Lu Dort is knocking in threes wide open from the logo. Aaron Wiggins making plays happen, getting and ones. Like, they just are too deep, and the Grizzlies don't have much to offer. They don't have much to offer in regards to power when it comes to what the, the Thunder have on their roster. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on overreaction. Not an overreaction. We'll do that in a second. But as far as guests are concerned on the show today, 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join from CBS Sports. He's our role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeffrey Wright and company on Thursday. He joins my show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then 6 o'clock, Chad Ryder will join. Chad Ryder, for those that don't know, has been working at NFL.com for a long time. He does the NFL draft. He's a researcher. He's been there since 2011, but he has a 7-round mock draft. He put out his 7-round mock draft before we get to first round tomorrow night in Green Bay. Some interesting things in there, including some Memphis Tigers that he has listed. He has Seth Hennigan and Chandler Martin listed as picks. I'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about the top of the draft, Shedeur Sanders. There's a lot of nonsense out there about him, and we'll talk about that in overreaction, not in overreaction as well. But, Connor, we have more anonymous coaches saying that Shedeur Sanders' interviews were awful and that he's arrogant. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. We're 24 hours away from the draft. Can we just drop that? We know your take on Shedeur Sanders. Just keep it to yourself at this point. And especially if you're going to be anonymous. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. Blitz will be at 6:30. And that is the show for you. Let's do what we normally do on a Wednesday and open on overreaction, not an overreaction.
The Grizzlies' big three is not good enough,
whoa,
and it's time to blow it up. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Starting hot and heavy. I want to say, I'll give you my answer in a second. This is a real conversation, guys. This is a conversation we're going to have. It's uncomfortable, and you've gotten used to the idea of a window being open as long as Desmond Bain and Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. are here, and they continue to grow up, and they continue to take leaps. They haven't really done that this year, but I'm going to say this is, for now, an overreaction. I want to see what Zach Kleiman can do this offseason to surround this team and this big three with pieces, with a coach that can maximize their skill sets. That's what I want to see first. Now, after a year, if you're still in the exact same spot that you are right this second, battling into the playoffs, not really competing with the top of the Western Conference, struggling against teams ahead of you in the standings, then I think we do need to have some really tough discussions about what these guys, Desmond Bain, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., can command on the open market. You can give yourself some flexibility by moving these guys potentially. One of the three, a package, who knows, but you could find a better player. You could find a player that helps them win at a higher level going forward. You could get some draft picks. You could get a lot of different things using the assets of these big three at your disposal. But right now is too early. I want to see Zach Kleiman go to work. You get Jaren Jackson Jr. to sign his extension, then use the mid-level exception to find a decent 3-and-D player. You could find some trades out there. With some players that you have right now, with some draft assets, just try to get this team better going into next year. We'll see how it plays out. Right now, I think it's too early to talk about blowing up the big three, but by next year, if you're in the same exact spot, I don't think it's too early to have that conversation.
Right. I think that we are still a year away from really having that type of conversation. I think one of the reasons some people are talking about it now is because Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be owed a lot of money. Whether or not he's All-NBA or not All-NBA, he is still going to be eligible for a max extension. It's either going to be a max or a supermax. We are just waiting to see which one it is going to be. It feels like the supermax may not be there anymore just from the momentum that he lost over the last 2 months of the season for All-NBA. I still think if you're looking at the body of work of the season, you could still argue he's All-NBA, but you know, I understand that voters have recency bias that plays into it. I agree with you, though. This offseason is one of the most important, in my opinion, in Grizzlies history, because you have these three players that you believe are a core, and then you have a young rookie like Zach Giddey. You have a young rookie like Jalen Wells. And I think all of those five players can contribute to winning. But everything around them is not good enough.
It's not.
It's not good enough. And Jalen Wells shouldn't have to be starting as a rookie. Zach Giddey shouldn't have to be, you know, a walking double-double every single night for your success. You have got to find veteran players, veteran wing players, that can come in here, provide defense, provide shooting, and provide some leadership. Because this team needs veteran leadership.
Yes.
It has been very frustrating to watch this team down the stretch because it just feels like they don't give a damn enough. And that is frustrating. And I don't know if that is because they understand that this roster isn't good enough. I don't know if they are upset with what was happening with the coaching and the front office. But when you are watching these basketball games, you see frustration sometimes, but you don't see the give a damn factor. There were too many moments in last night's game where one Thunder player was beating three or four Grizzlies for a rebound.
Yes.
Alex Caruso looked like Shaquille O'Neal in moments last night. That cannot happen. It is really frustrating watching this team because you see that they have the big three, but all of a sudden, they aren't enough. And again, we have said it all the last 2 months, all season. We have said if one of these guys does not show up in a big game, you aren't going to win, especially against a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. All of them have to be scoring 20-plus. And last night, when you look at the box score, you're going to say, oh, okay, Jaren had a good game. Kinda. Jaren had a better
first
game.
Half was
first
ugly
half
as hell.
His was not good. It was one of the reasons the Grizzlies started 32-17 was because Jaren Jackson Jr. couldn't stay on the floor because he was fouling people when he shouldn't have been fouling people. The second half was much better. He came in. He was focused. He stopped fouling. He was much, much better in the second half. But you cannot give the Oklahoma City Thunder the starts that the Grizzlies have been giving them. They can't dig themselves out of a hole, out of a 20-point hole with OKC Thunder. It's not going to happen. They are too damn good. And there is a huge difference between the Grizzlies and the rest of the playoff teams.
Yes.
When I'm watching the rest of the playoff teams, and I'm talking about like the contending teams, the true contending teams. There's a huge difference.
There's juice. There's give a damn. There's extra efforts. I've
hard nosed defense. It's not there for the Grizzlies.
In the first quarter last night, too. I don't know if you saw this, but John Morant threw up like a. It was out of the corner. He had a weird drive, and he threw up like a floater that missed, and it bounced directly back to him. But he was already jogging back to the other end. Jaren Jackson Jr. The foul trouble in the first half. How did he get his third foul? You ask. Well, with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter, he's getting outmaneuvered by Alex Caruso, a 6'5 guard, for a rebound. Then he has to push and pull. Those are the ones that frustrate me the most. That's effort. That's intensity. That's attention to detail for a guy who should, at this point in his career, I know we've always had issues with rebounding, but he should, at this point in his career, be able to out-rebound Alex Caruso, be able to contend with Alex Caruso as a 7-footer on the boards. I don't know, Connor. I just look at this team, whether they're playing the Timberwolves and the Nuggets down the stretch, they just didn't have a whole bunch of juice. And then these last two games against Oklahoma City Thunder, the thing that jumps out to me, it doesn't feel like, and I know that as a fan and the rest of the NBA fans and the casual fans that tune into this series, we know they don't really have a chance. But you don't want to see that perpetuate. You don't want to see that attitude flow through the Grizzlies. And it feels like
this
Grizzlies team, they don't believe in themselves enough to steal a game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Feels like they don't have the belief. And that is scary because that's something that could potentially last. That's something that sticks in your brain for a long time. So that's where I am at. It's been frustrating to watch because it seems like there's a lack of belief even in that locker room about how much they can compete with this Oklahoma City Thunder.
Very well put. And I think that's one reason it has been so frustrating these last few games, last month, to watch this team. Because even when they're losing, there's just this sinking of the shoulders, head down feeling to it. Where it's like, where's your fight, man? Where's the fight?
I know too much revisionist history with like a guy like Dylan Brooks, but that was one thing I always appreciated about Dylan Brooks. It didn't matter if you were up 20, down 20, if you were playing a team that was supremely more talented than you. That guy gave some juice to this roster, gave them some belief that they don't have right now. Now, I'm not going to do their whole revisionist, like they never should have got rid of him. They probably wouldn't have been able to afford him. Look at the contract he got from the Rockets. But, like, that's where you look back, and I think more than just the defense and the on-court conversations that came with Dylan Brooks, you miss that attitude, that leadership quality that he brought to this team night in, night out.
And that's why my hope is this offseason, and listen, it's a huge offseason for Zach Kleiman. He's listening.
Huge.
you better figure something out. Because this team ain't going to get it done. It's not going to get it done. You bet on some of these younger players, and it didn't work out. I understood the bets. I actually believed in some of the bets. But Gigi broke his foot. Vince just hasn't been right. Jalen Wells broke his wrist. You traded Marcus Smart in a bad trade. You got rid of Jake LaRavia when you probably shouldn't have. And now it's like, okay, you've got your big three. You've got Zach Edey. You got Jalen Wells. You got Scottie Pippen. I think everybody else, I'm not 100% sure if they're going to be on this roster next year. Even Santi. You've got to figure out who are winning basketball players that are going to be here. You've got to go out and spend money. You've got to go out and make moves. I understand that it's much more difficult now with the CBA because you got three max contract guys and you're in a small market. I get it. But this is not acceptable. This is not going to get it done. You're wasting fans' time. You're wasting Jaws' time, Bane's time, Jaren's time. You got to put players around them that can get it done. You got to find a coach that can get it done because I'm not convinced that T.I.'s the guy. I don't know.
And we'll talk about that in a second.
We'll talk about that in a second. But this roster is not going to get it done. You do not blow up the big three. I also, that being said, you're not making calls about the big three. If somebody calls you, you listen. You listen.
What can I get out of it? That's what you
have. If somebody calls you and the other name is Giannis, you listen.
Of course.
But it has to be something like that, is what I'm saying.
Of course, of course.
You're not making calls about them by any means, though, yet. That's, I think, we're a year away from that. But this offseason, you better put something around these guys that can win, or Kleiman, you're going to be sitting next to Taylor Jenkins. It is time. There is no more patience with this team. I am frustrated watching this team because they are better than this. And I don't know whether it's that they're playing a historically great team in the Oklahoma City Thunder, so it's being made to look worse than it is.
Yeah, but
I understand
it's not
you're
the whole
missing,
story either.
You're
you
missing
can't, you
two
can't
of
even
your top
that.
Six guys. I understand that's part of the picture here. But at the end of the day, this roster is not good enough, and you are not going to compete in this Western Conference with this roster. So figure something out.
I understand Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark aren't out there. But like even with those guys out, like the obviously Santi still a decent player off the bench. But like outside of him, like John Conchar has been the guy that's given you some juice and some momentum.
He gives you effort.
And some effort. And like I should never feel that way. I should never feel like John Conchar is the guy you need to rely on off the bench.
Right.
That's a sad, sad feeling and a sad, sad reality. And, you know, for Zach Kleiman, again, once Jaren Jackson Jr.'s pen touches paper, it's got to be present-minded. This future-oriented thought process has to go out the window. And I understand to this point why he had it. I get it. But at the same time, I think there was probably some opportunities missed because you were looking too far out into the future. You were looking to be more flexible in the offseason. You have to spend money. You have to be willing to go into the luxury tax in this day and age. You have to be willing to hit aprons. You have to be willing to do those things to be competitive. And I just haven't seen that yet. Now, I know you and I, and most people in the Grizzlies world, fans, media, otherwise, you looked at the bet they made at the trade deadline, getting rid of Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia, and betting on Jalen Wells and Vince Williams Jr. and Gigi Jackson. Like, that's, we were all semi-supportive of that. I don't think any of us enjoyed the timing of it, considering you were there at second in the West and you're getting rid of two of your best perimeter defenders and guys that were in your rotation. Like, I don't think anyone liked the timing of it, understood it, and you were making bets on the young guys that you converted off of two ways and drafted. I get it. But in the end of the day, I think we were all a little bit too blinded by the short-term, whether it was Vince Williams Jr., Gigi Jackson last year, what they showed, or Jalen Wells, what he showed to start this year. I think we were blinded by these short-term moments because in the end of the day, you are in reality. What you were doing by making the moves you made, you're betting on a 39th overall pick, a 45th overall pick, and a 47th overall pick. I'm not saying that they won't all become great players for you and give you good minutes going into the future. I'm not saying that. But in the end of the day, I cannot pull on the strings of the past and give you an example where three former second round picks all have hit, all have been good role guys for you, and all have been get over the top pieces. That's just a big rarity. I don't have any historical context to where that has ever been the truth for a contending team, a championship contending team in the history of the NBA.
There's just no doubt about it. The team was worse. After the deadline, the team was worse. Jake LaRavia was a winning player for you. Marcus Smart, I know he wasn't playing a lot, but when he did, he was a winning basketball player. He had some frustrating moments, but he was a winning basketball player. Would they be winning this series with those two guys? No.
No.
Would it look different? Yeah, it looked different. They'd still be losing, yes, but we wouldn't be like, I don't know if we'd be questioning the effort like we have been. And that feels bad because you and I were talking about it. Mark, Zach, and T.A. were just on a podcast together.
Talking about the current Grizzlies versus them.
Well, they've been really present recently with T.A.'s retirement ceremony and all that stuff. I never questioned the give a damn of those teams. Never. Never for a second. Every night those teams walked on the court, I thought they had a chance to win, no matter who they were playing. I don't feel the same about this team. And I don't like that.
Have you heard their segment talking about them versus the new era Grizzlies? Marcus Saul sort of put it, I really appreciate the way he talked about it because he was not being an a-hole. He wasn't saying like we would kick the crap out of them, even though I think we both and most everybody in Grizzlies in the Grizzlies orbit right now believes that that team, the grit and grind era, would just probably wipe the floor in five games in a 7-game series for this particular team. But he said they're so talented. Like, he brought up Jaren Jackson Jr. He's like, he can bring the ball up the floor. He can facilitate and find his open guys at times. He can get off the bounce at 7 foot. He can get to the rim. He can shoot a three. Like the talent, Ja, he brought up Dez. Like, the talent that this team possesses is probably a fair amount more than what they had on those grit and grind teams. But he also brought up the point, he goes, I can tell you this, we wanted it more. And he didn't like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We wanted it more. And I know that's hard to measure. It's more abstract. But I think everybody believes that same thing about comparing those two eras, those two teams. They wanted it more, even though they didn't have the same amount of talent. And here's another thing to sort of highlight that with this particular series. The Grizzlies, we know that they have to capitalize on knockaways, turnovers, get out into fast break to have a chance in this series and get offensive rebounds, that type of thing. Well, they got out offensive rebounded last night by the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they're not a good offensive rebounding team. They're bottom half in the NBA. But fast break points so far in the series, the Thunder are up 48-8.
Good Lord.
Points off turnovers in the series. The Thunder are up 49-16. Like, there's just certain things that you have to be locked in. You have to give an extra effort. And the Thunder are giving that. The Grizzlies aren't even coming close to matching the effort that the Thunder are throwing out there every night.
Ugly, ugly. Ugly, ugly. All right, next up. The coaching search needs to be as open as possible. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. I'll start by saying I don't think we've given, like, Tomas Isolo some full cupboard to deal with.
Right.
To where we can get a really good feel for him. I will say every time he seems to draw something up from an out-of-bounds player off a timeout, it does not work
great.
Well. A turnover.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Five-second call. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
In that Warriors play-in game. So that has been ugly. Defensively, and I know he's not a defensive coach, so these things carried over from Taylor Jenkins, the end of Taylor Jenkins to him. But he has done next to nothing to improve the defense. The defense is really bad. And then I will say offensively, I think – for every game outside of the Oklahoma City Thunder, these two games, it looked better. But I think it looks better because you're taking your superstar and giving everything to him, putting things right on his platter, giving him a bunch of high screen and rolls with Zach Edey. And we've seen that actually come back to bite them in this Thunder series. It's easy to sit back and play a Ja Morant high pick and roll when you get into the half court game on a consistent basis. All they have to do is play under screens, play drop coverage, and dare Ja to shoot the ball, see if he can make a mid-range shot. If he does, tip the cap. If he doesn't, that's great for the other team. In this case, it's been the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I don't think he's done anything that is going to be lasting or helpful going into the future offensively. That's just my feel of it. So, I think you need to open this thing up to a bunch of candidates. I don't think you need to have this drop dead, it has to be Tomas Isolo mindset. See if there's some retreads out there. See if there's other guys that could be available in the open market. I don't have a good feel for who those guys are or who I want to have this job next if it's not Tomas Isolo. But you need to not just gift this job to Tomas Isolo. We've seen a fair amount of runway for him. He's had his sort of trial run. And to me, there's a lot of negatives that have reared their ugly head. So if you want to interview Mike Brown, if you want to interview Michael Malone, even though I don't think that would be a good fit, if you want to interview other guys out there that are looking for a job that are retreads, if you want to go for a former player, Sam Cassell's a name that's always come up. Go do that. Don't be pigeonholed into, we paid Tomas Isolo $1 million buyout to come over here. We expected him to be the head coach in waiting, so we're going to go that direction. Don't do that to yourself. Give yourself options this offseason.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like the name Sam Cassell. I do think you got to take a look at him. He's been one of the better assistant coaches in the NBA for a long time now with a highly successful team. Definitely look at a couple coaches from the past. I think that T.I. is probably in the lead for the job still, but I don't think he's earned the job yet, and there needs to be an interview process. And you've got to figure out – that's like I said, this offseason is so important for the Grizzlies because you have to make sure you get the coach right, and you got to make sure you get that roster right. because what it is now is not going to get it done. It's just not going to get it done at all. So they have to change something. They have to change the roster. They've got to figure out the right head coach who can bring defense and offense to this team, that can bring accountability to this team, hard-nosedness to this team. It's just, right now, it is ugly. I do not look forward to watching Memphis Grizzlies basketball right now. I haven't looked forward to watching Memphis Grizzlies basketball for about 2 months now. And that is just a bad feeling to have.
Who is Sam Cassell the name that
I think so.
Sticks out the most to you?
I think so.
I also think that this because conversation about not going after a retread's a little bit overblown.
Well,
because retreads have had some success. Like, look at J.B. Bickerstaff. Look at Kenny Atkinson. Look at some of these guys around the NBA.
Right.
They've had some success getting into a different job, getting into a different culture, getting into a different market. So
I
don't think you need to completely shut the door on a guy who's been recently fired or a guy who didn't have success at his last stop. Keep those options open.
One thing with those two examples, JB and Kenny, rosters are ready.
Yeah.
The Pistons were ready.
Fair.
They had the right guys. They got veterans they brought in, and they made that roster better.
Right.
The Cavaliers are ready. They had a bench. They had four guys who gave a damn every single night. The roster was ready. So you bring in the coach, that put him over the hump. If this roster isn't ready,
it doesn't matter who's
coming. It doesn't matter if you bring back Red Auerbach back. They're not going to get it done. They won't get it done. If the roster is not ready, that's the most important thing. The coach can only take you so far. It can only change so much.
Yes.
I like the idea of Sam Cassell. I get why some people have mentioned Michael Malone. I'm going to be honest with y'all. If you didn't like Taylor Jenkins, you're not going to like Michael Malone. Those two guys are very similar.
Let me be completely forthright about my feelings around Michael Malone. I think him and Ja would be oil and water.
Yes.
I think that would be a horrid mix. And I know that there's some people out there that don't know the situation that we follow every day with the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant. But I know some people, Chris Canty, on Unsportsmanlike a couple weeks ago. Oh, hey, you need a fire breather to come in and hold Ja accountable. That's Michael Malone. I don't think that's a good fit. I don't think that makes sense. I think that would be a bad mix, and I think you'd be in a really, really uncomfortable spot with your superstar if you decide to go that direction. Now, let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day, and when we come back, I want to get to some NFL draft. We are approaching 24 hours till round one in Green Bay. And anonymous NFL assistant coaches are talking trash on Shedeur Sanders. What do I think about it? I'll tell you next. Back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We're going to hop into the NFL draft conversation in just a moment, but we have to do our weekly check-in with Showboat's head coach, Jim Turner, at @JimTurner_OL. The Showboats are coming off a tough loss, 27-9 against the Michigan Panthers in Week 4 on Friday night, but they're going to try to respond here in a couple of days against the Birmingham Stallions. Jim, how's it going? Good to talk with you again.
It's going great. Fired up to be the head coach of our Showboats. Looking forward to playing these guys.
Yes. How has the transition been? I know that you stepped in Week 1, but Ken officially steps away. Obviously in those situations, it can be tough. It can wear on the guys. How have you guys been managing behind the scenes, all of the sort of moving parts that go into a switch like this in the middle of the season?
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to be 60 years old. I wanted to be a head coach. It took me the 60 years to do it. And now in 4 weeks, I've been a head coach twice and I haven't won a game yet.
Ready to get that one? Hey, this week is the week.
Honest to God, I'm really excited about it. I love the football team. I'm not saying that because of any other reason than I legitimately do. I mean, I love the character of the team. You got a bunch of guys that just have the eye of the tiger. I love the league. I love what it stands for, trying to give these guys a shot to play in the league. To answer your question, you know, obviously with me being the head coach the first week and then Ken coming back for the next 3, and now me getting it last week, and then me bringing in my coordinator last week at the same time. I mean, you know, the ship is in rough waters, right? And so, and that's why it's a credit to our players that they've really been great to me as far as, you know, giving me an opportunity to go in there and right the ship. And I know it's been difficult. It was hard last week. there was some serious frustration for all of us last week, and I acknowledged that after the game to the team. I said, listen, I know it's frustrating. Our defense is playing well enough to win, and I know our offense is not, and there's obvious reasons for that. So, you know, we've been given the opportunity here to try and write this, and I brought Noel Mazzone in, who's been a friend of mine for years. I've coached with him a few different times, and we've been great together. So that's why I brought him out here. I knew the players would love him, and they do. There's an excitement here right now. I'm going to start Dresser Wynn at quarterback. And the other two quarterbacks have done a good job considering right. the situation. I feel bad because at no time do I say that that Perry or Williams got a fair shake. I tried to do the best I could to give them that. And the guy that's taking it on the chin the most, I think, is Wynn. So I'm really excited for him that he's going to get an opportunity. And I really think our team will show up. I think we showed up last week, to be honest with you. I mean, our offense didn't show up for the first half, but we came out in the second half and we were throwing haymakers. I mean, we started running the ball. We had a great return by Henny, and he put us in position. It was a big play that put us in position. We went down, we ran the ball. We had a 5-yard, 7-yard, 5-yard run, and then we came in. We threw the ball, incredible catch by Stove, and they called it a pick. And you know that's what it was. So if we don't turn the ball over there, and again, a great effort by Stove. This isn't anything negative against him, but if we didn't turn the ball over right there and we score, we're actually going to be leading in the game in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So, you know, for us to be in the game against a team that's experienced, as polished as they are, you know, I feel like that's 100% character, because our guys were trying to tough it out, and we just didn't gel in any way, shape, or form on offense. And so really that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to, you know, I changed the whole terminology of the offense. Everything is predicated on what the players can and can't handle. I spend most of my time in my 30 years of coaching or whatever it is, you know, my thing is always about the delivery to the player. So how does the player, you know, receive what you're delivering? And so to me, it's all about that, right? And so I spend so much time making sure that what we're presenting to the players is something that they can handle and that they can use to make them better and make them actually, you know, gel in this offense. And so I think we've done a great job with that. I know the players respond to Noel, and I'm really excited to see what we're going to do this weekend.
Now, I know that you try to take each game as it comes to you, but coming up this weekend, you have a game against Birmingham, the two-time reigning champ of this league, won it last year, won it the year before. This week, as much as you try to treat every week the same, how much more weighted is it, considering the opportunity that is out there, to sort of change the complexion of the season by getting a win against the team that everybody is trying to knock off the top of the pedestal that they've been on for a couple of years?
Yeah, I look at it this way, right? So I have my NFL experience. I have my SEC experience. And in both of those experience, right, it's any given Sunday, right? So you know, like when you're playing in the NFL, right, you can play the worst team in the league and you can be the best team in the league. And when you line up on that Sunday, it's actually more nerve-wracking than if you were playing another team that was as equal to you record-wise.
Sure.
Because you know that one punch and they can knock you out, right? And so you know that. Like they're heavyweight fighters, right? So you know that it can happen. So to me, I think this league is very similar to that. So I don't see any team. I think Birmingham is obviously very well coached. They have an excellent team, excellent quarterback, right? I mean, everything, right? So their great D-line is outstanding. So, I mean, they're firing on all cylinders. I know that. You know that, right? Our team knows that. But I'll be honest with you. Our team also knows that we really haven't got off the stool yet. You know, we know that if we get off the stool and we go out there and meet these guys at center ring, we're going to be able to contend and we're going to be able to win some football games in this league. And I really believe that. I'm in no position to set somebody up for failure. And I remember my dad when I was a kid, he was like, you know, Jimmy, you could play for the Green Bay Packers. You know, I kept running the ball outside because I was playing Pop Warner and all that stuff. My brother, I got to college and I kept getting tackled for a 1-yard game. My brother Bobby said, hey, numbnuts. He said, you got to run forward. You got to run straight. You're not as fast as these guys. you know, you're not going to play in the NFL. You know what I mean? I needed somebody to tell me the truth, right? So the same thing here. I tell these guys the dead set truth, and I really believe that we have some NFL caliber players in this building. And I feel like we can win some football. We have the talent to win games. And so I'm really trying to put us in position to do that. And I'm really hoping that we can turn the corner this weekend, and we're going to find out. But I'm really excited to see. I think the whole team's excited to see what Dresser Wynn's going to do. I know he's excited about it. Our line's excited. Our defense is excited. So, you know, it's a positive thing going forward.
Yep. Now, I know defensively, you guys have had your done well so far this year, at least played well enough to win. Offensively, you talked about making the change, new coordinator, trying to maybe be a little more simplistic about how you're getting the plays to them, relaying the information. But as far as what you need to do to get a better performance offensively, what does that look like coming up this weekend against the Birmingham Stallions?
Well, if you just look like, so if you just want to talk statistically, like all the passes we threw last weekend, we averaged per pass play 3.3 yards. So if you just look at that, right, like you're in trouble, right? You need chunks of yardage, right? We don't make any big plays in this offense yet. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. We need big plays. We have to make simple plays work. Right. So just throwing the ball and catching the ball. Right. Just making simple passes. You know, when they're there, you got to take the pass and you got to hit the guy with the ball, you know, running the football. You know, we like in the beginning of the game last week, we struggled to run the football, and there's reasons for that. OK, but we struggled to run it. We come out in the second half. We just ran outside zone to the right, and it started to pay off, and we started to gel a little bit on offense. We had a nice drive. And, you know, and we had a couple of nice drives, and they got nullified. We got stopped on the 4th-and-1, then we had to turn over right before that. So, you know, we're in the games that we played to this point, we are really in a no-mistake zone. Like, we make one mistake, we're going to lose the game. And so, and you can't play that way, right? So we need to just play basic football. We need to play fundamental football. We need to block better. We need to throw the ball and catch the ball better. Everything on offense. And I know our defense didn't play well in general last week. They didn't stop the run very well. And I'll stand by what I said. You know, our defense is our defense. They're well coached. We have a lot of good players over there, a lot of tough guys over there. And, I mean, our secondary is as good a secondary as you're going to get between Boykin and Gilbert and Shepard and Reap, Rivers, all these guys, right? Walker is a heck of a player. And so, you know, again, on offense, to answer your question, we have just got to perform basic football tasks and do a good job with it, be consistent with it. And like I said to my son, Mike, my son Mike's a running back at College Station High School. I said, Mike, the coordinator wants first downs. Don't try and score a touchdown when you touch the ball. Get first downs. Get first down. So he stands there, and he says it to himself. Like all the players tell me, they said, Lam, when he's standing there in the field, he's saying, get a first down. Before the ball snapped, he's standing in the stand saying, get a first down. And he runs that way, and that's the way we have to play. Just get a first down, and before you know it, we'll score a touchdown.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, that's the thing. And I think big plays, right? You got to make big plays in these games. And if you watch Birmingham play, right, like a couple of times they've been in jams and this quarterback throws a seam route, bam, a touchdown, game over, you know, and they've done that a couple of times. And that's a big part of this league, the NFL, the SEC, all these big-time leagues, that's a big part of it.
Yep. Now, are you going to be locked into the NFL draft, or we have more game plan we're going to have to get done before now, between now and coming up on Friday?
No, there's not a heck of a lot of more game plan. I'll be looking at some of the draft.
I hear you.
I'd rather get some food first, though, before the draft. You know what I mean? Like, I'm focused on other things, to be honest
with you.
I'm looking forward to the draft. I'll be honest with you. Like, the whole draft thing, like, I love the whole thing and how it works within our locker room, you know, because these guys all watch the draft. You know, and like you see teams, right? They'll draft a guy in the first round. You know, he's got like 8 starts his senior year. He's only played, you know, and it pisses these guys off. Like
right.
A lot of them will say,
yeah,
I'm better than that guy. You know, and I understand that 100%. I love that. And I love that they think that way. That's why I love this league. I just think when you look out into these guys, I've coached in the NFL before. I've coached everywhere. And so when you look out at these guys, right, I mean, they all want to punch you in the mouth. Like, they're all, they have the eye of the tiger. Like, they want this. And I love coaching those kind of guys.
Yep, 100%. Well, Coach, I appreciate it. Good luck coming up on Friday. We'll be watching.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. He is Jim Turner, head coach of the Memphis Showboats, taking over for Ken Wisenhunt in recent weeks. He's on X at @JimTurner_OL. They need a dub, 0-4 so far, but a good opportunity against the reigning champ of the UFL, the Birmingham Stallions. Again, coming up on Friday, it'll be a protective stadium in Birmingham. Now, we are, like I have mentioned on several occasions, closing in on 24 hours till night one, round one of the NFL draft in Green Bay. And with that, you get more intel. You get, unfortunately, anonymous sourcing. Today, from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, he talked with an anonymous NFL assistant coach talking about Shedeur Sanders, Connor. Shedeur Sanders, who, for most people, they view as QB2 in this draft behind Cam Ward, who will ultimately be taken number one overall by the Tennessee Titans when we see the NFL draft get going tomorrow. But this anonymous NFL assistant coach had this to say. Quote, Shedeur Sanders, the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good, end quote. I want to fight from the jump when it comes to this particular quote. At the very end, he said he's not that good. You're full of it. You're wrong. I'm sorry. I watched what he did over a two-year sample size at Colorado. He broke the school passing touchdown record, set the single-season mark for passing yards, and he did it with no run game and with guys in his face on a consistent basis. He was the most sacked quarterback in college football the last two seasons. So that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. And here is another thing that has been perpetuated and talked about through the entire process with Shedeur Sanders, the entitlement. He's so entitled. He's arrogant. He speaks way too highly of himself. Well, there's a couple of ways to look at it. One, entitlement is entitlement. If that is the truth, usually you won't jive very well in an NFL locker room. But the arrogant part of it, I want to address that. Arrogance can be mistaken for confidence in a lot of situations. And based on what I've seen from Shedeur Sanders, you can view it as arrogant all you want. But I view it through the lens of confidence. This is a guy who consistently talks the talk, but also backs it up on Saturday, Sunday, whenever he's playing football, and walks the walk. He does it on a consistent basis. And I think the biggest issue I have with the conversation that has been consistently brought up about Shedeur Sanders is stop hiding behind the anonymous sourcing. Stop hiding behind, you know, anonymity when it comes to saying these things. If you're going to say them, say it with your chest. It is frustrating and kind of chicken-esque to consistently go about it this way. But it's something that has been following Shedeur Sanders this entire process. Some people think he'll drop. Some people think he won't. We'll talk to Chad Ryder a little bit later. He's very high on Shedeur Sanders, has him at number 6 to the Las Vegas Raiders to be next in line after Geno Smith steps away, the guy they traded for this offseason. So, to be honest with you, this should mean nothing, but we get these types of things from time to time, and I feel like Shedeur Sanders, this entire pre-draft process has been unnecessarily picked on every step of the way.
No doubt about it. I don't understand, too, why some people have been acting as if this anonymous assistant coach is on the money when you look at Shedeur Sanders' actual production and his actual talent on the field, and he has been able to show up. Like you said, he's been able to back it up. And I'm going to be honest, I've never really thought he was an arrogant person. It seems like a lot of people around him like to talk. I understand that he can be flashy at times, but he has the highest completion percentage that we've seen in college football. He holds almost 100 records at Colorado. He has put the work in on the field. He's a hard worker. He gives a damn about football. I just think it's a bit of a cheap shot to take to a kid 24 hours before a draft, putting out an anonymous comment.
Yes, and on Good Morning Football today, we did have Kyle Brandt sort of speak on this, and I thought Kyle Brandt did a really good job of breaking down how you should feel when an anonymous coach comes after a guy like Shedeur Sanders. Go ahead and play it.